Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:07 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday, right? Yeah, it's a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Check out FMTalk1065.com for our three big things right now. In Montgomery, the Alabama House passed a bill cracking down on stolen guns. Now makes it a felony to possess a stolen gun of any value, not just those under or over $1,500. Also, a U.S. official says that intel indicated Iran was moving missiles by boat, and that's why the decision to send USS Abraham Lincoln, along with a group of Air Force bombers, to the Middle East was made. And also here locally, the big news is public meetings between ALDOT and citizens of Baldwin and Mobile counties about tolls on the Mobile River Bridge, the proposed Mobile River Bridge. And that's our question right now, the toll poll question.
I like the toll poll question.
The toll poll brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. How much would you be willing to pay in tolls on the new I-10 Mobile River Bridge? And don't forget, you'll be paying tolls in the Wallace Tunnel also. And the number they put out there was between $3 and $6 per trip.
Right.
We were a little more lenient. We said from $0, would you be willing to pay zero?
I would.
To take the bridge? I think everybody would be willing to pay zero. $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, or $6. How much would you be willing to pay to cross over Mobile Bay? That's the current poll question.
Yeah, that's I think that would vary with the amount of trips that you would have to make.
Yes.
As to what would fit into your budget, obviously.
For everyone, though, $0 would be preferred.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen, though,
no,
as they say.
No.
And somebody who doesn't have to deal with the Mobile River Bridge, at least for a little while, Jeff Poor, who we talk to every Wednesday morning, host of the Jeff Poor Show up on WVNN in Huntsville. Jeff, how you doing this morning?
Doing well, Dalton. Thanks for having me on.
And lots going on in Montgomery, of course, as the legislature in session. They've reached the second half now, right?
Yeah, they're a little past halftime. This is where they're getting ready to, I guess, going into the kickoff here, or maybe out of the kickoff. That's probably more appropriate.
Well, let's we'll talk Montgomery here in a little bit, and especially the Senate race with new news coming out in the Senate 2020 race. But first, let's talk about some of the national news and what's leading off most stations this morning. And that's the New York Times report from yesterday that Donald Trump, they reported that his business has lost more than $1 billion from 1985 to 1994. And they based that off of some tax information that they acquired. They said they acquired printouts from the future president's official, or I guess then he was the future president, his official IRS tax transcripts and figures from his federal tax form. Said that his businesses lost $46.1 million in 1985 and a total of $1.17 billion in losses for the 10-year period. They said that he lost so much money he was able to avoid paying income taxes for 8 of the 10 years. Now, lawmakers in Washington have, of course, been asking for Trump's tax returns since before he became president. Where does that leave us now, Jeff? Does this new information change anything?
Maybe. To some people, the only thing about this is I think they want... Well, let's just put it out there. I think Democrats want this out there to show that Donald Trump isn't quite the businessman that he proclaims to be. And... just watching the reactions on the different cable news channels, that's kind of the way they were going with it. So what does it change? Does it change anything politically? I don't think so, but it does. Will that be enough for Democrats? Because they're just chomping at the bit to get his last 10 years of tax returns. Probably not, but that's where the real battle is lining up.
And I think the president has already come out and defended himself a little bit. He said that was due to write-offs and a couple other things. But we've already seen the Democrats pouncing, at least on Twitter and in the media. I know Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, everyone's favorite liberal that doesn't know what a garbage disposal is, she commented that this makes it even more important to see his more recent tax returns. And she said that the American people should be worried that with the president currently holding office, having lost so much money, I guess 85 was what, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, right, that he would be willing to do bad deals in order to get himself out of whatever hole they think he might be in.
Right, and that's always been the knock on Trump, that we could go back. Remember his feud with Rosie O'Donnell, and now he declared bankruptcy, that he is not as wealthy as he proclaims to be. And I think a lot of Democrats are saying, well, that was really... That's the only reason we know who Donald Trump is, because he's some rich guy. And had we known about these tax returns, then he might not be president. And then, as you said, a lot of Democrats are going to question whether or not it's a it indicates he's not a capable leader for the country.
Do you think we will see those more recent tax returns? I know there's been a bit of a fight about it in the courts recently.
I think eventually they'll come out. I don't know. I'm not sure it's going to be in the short term or the long term. But I do think someday we'll see them. He might be out of office by the time we see them. Who knows? But it's like the holy grail for Democrats these days to get Trump's tax returns. And when they finally do, here's what's going to happen. We've built up such high expectations to them. We're going to see. I think a lot of people are going to be very, you know, it's going to be kind of a Al Capone's vault situation.
Well, you know, Jeff, Mark Holliday here. It's unless you are an accountant or have run a large business, these things are absolutely meaningless because, you know, on paper, the whole idea is to show a loss to eliminate or reduce the amount of taxes that you have to pay. If you can show a loss on paper by taking, you know, credits and deductions and whatever it might be, you know, on maybe losing properties to offset the gains on, you know, successful properties, that's what you hire accountants to do and figure out how to make your tax bite as low as possible.
Yeah, exactly. And what we know about Donald Trump's tax returns, at least the ones we've seen, these and the ones that were leaked to Rachel Maddow about a year and a half ago, that's the game. But, you know, if you're Donald Trump, you just can't come out and say that. I think he may have said that a little bit early on, that the system is rigged, remember?
Right, sure.
And he said that he's just working within the system that we've created when he's been asked in the past. But it's probably in politics to say, well, I'm just showing losses to avoid paying taxes.
Yeah, except for people like me who would say, yeah, way to go.
Right. So, but you know how we are. It's such a society.
Sure.
that it's a it's class warfare. It's the haves versus the have-nots. And
right.
That's the problem he runs into.
Yeah, the haves garbage disposals versus the have-nots garbage disposals, apparently. If anyone was following AOC yesterday, who on her Instagram Live said she had never seen a garbage disposal before, that was a big talker on the midday show, let me tell
right.
you.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about 2020, Jeff, and starting with the presidential race, where now, I'm not sure, I think 18 or 19 Democrats in the race. There's a lot of them that have already signed up, but one has already taken the lead, about a bit like Maximum Security, the horse in the Kentucky Derby. Joe Biden jumped out to an early lead, and he is the favored Democrat right now if you look at the odds. How far ahead is he already in the polls against his competitors?
Yeah, some of these polls are showing up to 20, 25 points. Morning Consult yesterday showed these big leads. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of 2015, I should say, when Donald Trump got into the race. You kind of, you know, because Donald Trump was a little later getting in. He waited a little longer than the Jeb and then Ted Cruz and some of these guys. But the polling was, well, it looks like it's going to be Jeb Bush, $100 million. And then all of a sudden, here's Donald Trump. He's in the race. He blows it up on the name ID. He's up by 15 points or so and never looks back. Feels a little bit that way to me, even if all these candidates sort of combined forces, they would still have a tough time getting to him. You know, Biden's pulling up in the 40s. If he gets up in the 50s and past 50, this thing might be over before it even starts.
Wow. And it's early. Seems like he's already put those accusations kind of behind him before and as he entered the race, with women saying that he inappropriately touched them on the campaign trails and during photo opportunities. He's dealt with that. Do you see that popping back up at all during this campaign?
You know, I'm sure it will, but it won't have the sting that it had the first time around because we've been there, done that. And the one thing I would say real quick before, you know, the national polls are important. They're important for fundraising, but wait till we see some of these New Hampshire and Iowa polls.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a little bit better indicator of which way the race is going to go, because you could poll terribly nationally, maybe pull out a victory at the Iowa caucus, and then all of a sudden your polls numbers nationally go shoot way up. This is kind of like what happened to John McCain. If you remember when he ran in 2008, around 2007, he was like fifth or sixth place, right? And when we got to Iowa, he finishes second or third, goes on and wins the New Hampshire primary, then he heads all the way in and wins the nomination, and the rest is history. But the deal is you got to kind of work your way into that race, and I think right now Biden has a much larger lead than anybody had in that contest. So that's they got a lot to think about.
I think among the Democrats already in the poll pool there, that Biden might be seen as more of a moderate Democrat than a lot of the rest of them that are in there. But we've seen in primaries before that sometimes the more extreme left-wingers can win the left-wing nomination. Some of the more extreme right-wing candidates can come ahead with the right-wing primary. Where do you see, if you were a campaign leader for any of these other Democrat campaigns, where would you attack Joe Biden right now?
Yeah, I would attack him. This is the Bernie Sanders line: is he voted for the Iraq War? The Clarence Thomas stuff, I think, is a low hanging fruit for a lot of the left. But he's also that he's kind of the establishment Republican, and he is. If you had an establishment, I mean Republican, establishment Democrat, if you had the Wall Street Democrat, who do you think Goldman Sachs or all these firms on Wall Street are going to give to?
Mm-hmm.
That is probably going to be Joe Biden, because you look at the rest of the field and it gets a little far to the left. Now they'll give to Cory Booker, they'll give to Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, because they hold seats in the United States Senate. But that's just to kind of curry favor with them for their Senate votes, I think. But the rest right now, Biden, when they're giving to Biden, that means they're looking at him as a guy they're betting on, that they're thinking is going to win. So that'll tell you a lot what you need to know. Where does the so-called smart money go? Now, the smart money went with Hillary Clinton in 2016. How'd that work out? But overcoming this and figuring out where they're going to hit Biden at for to make some inroads, it's going to be tough, because it ain't like it's 10 points. We're talking almost 20 points nationally.
That's crazy, a big early lead. Jeff, can you hang with us another segment? We got to talk some Alabama news, especially this John Rogers, Doug Jones story, which I think has taken a turn over the last day or two.
Absolutely.
All right. And coming up here on FM Talk 106.5, your chance to win some tickets to see Widespread Panic. They'll be here at the end of August and beginning of September. Later on in this hour, going to give you your chance to win tickets to the Saturday, August 31st, Widespread Panic show at Pensacola Bay Center. Stay tuned, and you'll have a chance to win later right here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. All right, 824 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Mark Holliday in with you. Also joined by Jeff Poor from The Jeff Poor Show, WVNN in Huntsville. Also writes for YellowhammerNews.com and a lot of other publications. Jeff, who all do you write for? Lanyap? Yellowhammer? Is Jeff there?
Jeff.
Breitbart, Yellowhammer, oh, and Lanyap.
Yeah. All right. I was worried we lost you there for a second. Coming up later this hour, your chance to win tickets to see Widespread Panic in August at the Pensacola Bay Center. That'll be later this hour right here on Mobile Mornings. So, Jeff, we talked through the national news about Trump's taxes, that new report from New York Times, and also about Joe Biden's big lead in the early polls for 2020. Let's talk about another race coming up in 2020, and that's for the U.S. Senate seat here in Alabama, where Doug Jones will be running to hold his seat. And the big news over the last week and a half, was Representative John Rogers, who was speaking on the floor there in Montgomery. I think it was last week, the same day that Sean Sullivan from right here at FM Talk 106.5 was there with you. And his kill them now or kill them later abortion comments, which Doug Jones came out and condemned. But now the story's kind of taken a bit of a twist over the last day.
Right. So it's gotten a little strange. So Doug Jones apparently called up John Rogers to tell him he disagreed with his comments. Now there's a relationship there. John Rogers and Doug Jones was John Rogers' attorney for a while before he was in the United States Senate. So there's a relationship there. But Doug Jones called John Rogers, and John Rogers apparently taped their conversation, or at least a portion of it. And that's up on Yellowhammer, obtained by my colleague Sean Rawls. Uh-huh. If y'all want to check it out. But it's It makes, to me, when I listened to it initially, it made John Rogers come off as kind of a jerk. Mm-hmm. It made Doug Jones seem sensible, even though on another radio station, Rogers had accused Jones of yelling at him and said he was really, you know, apologizing for him, and that was not how you had, that's not how you deal with John Rogers. So anyway, yesterday afternoon, John Rogers says he's going to challenge Doug Jones in the Alabama Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate. So it makes for an interesting headline. I will be surprised if John Rogers is actually on the ballot. However, a lot of people telling me that perhaps Nancy Worley and Joe Reed are kind of at odds with John Rogers. I mean, not John Rogers, but with Doug Jones right now, that maybe they might be pushing him in that direction to be a primary opponent.
Well, with Doug Jones, and when he came out and condemned John Rogers' comments, which were basically indefensible, at least here in Alabama, we kind of talked about that on Mobile Mornings and said, well, maybe Doug Jones doesn't disagree, because he's not anti-abortion, Doug Jones, and maybe he just disagreed with the way that John Rogers phrased it, because, I mean, that was incredibly violent, the way that he was talking about abortion, and the kill him now or kill him later in the election, I mean, in the electric chair. But Doug Jones coming out and condemning it, that was kind of just something he had to do to save face for the Democrats here in Alabama, right?
Yeah, it was coarse rhetoric. It was dehumanizing. Now, when I first heard it, I said, well, John Rogers is not being literal. He's trying to exaggerate. He's trying to be hyperbolic to make a point, and that's the way it came off to me. It wasn't ill-advised. Was it a dumb thing to say? Yeah, obviously, but did he really believe that, kill him now or kill him later? And I'm skeptical that that's the case, but he's tried to explain his comments four or five times. I still can't make sense of them. But anyway, Doug Jones's position on abortion is pretty clear. It was like the very first national interview he did with Chuck Todd on MSNBC coming out of when we knew Roy Moore was going to be the Republican nominee. They had Doug Jones on talking about his chances, and he let it be known that he on abortion doesn't believe in any restrictions. I thought, you know, maybe you should have at least tempered those remarks before you made them. Didn't matter. He's a United States senator now, so his position on abortion is that is his Achilles heel in Alabama. And I think going and making these remarks about what John Rogers had said was a just knowing that that's his Achilles heel, he did what he had to do.
Going forward, we got plenty of time over the coming weeks to talk about all the Republicans in the field for Senate 2020. But as far as what's going on right now in Montgomery, where do we stand on the lottery bills?
Lottery bills, interesting one. So it came out of the Senate, just a, what they call a clean lottery. And I've always explained this. We don't have a lottery in Alabama because all the different gaming interests can never agree on some kind of lottery bill, and they control a lot of power in Montgomery. That's the Porch Creek Indians, and those are the casinos at the dog tracks. That's really your gaming powers, and that's what's holding back a lottery. But let's fast forward. The Senate bill that just passed, it gives all the money to the general fund. We at Del Marshall on our radio show last week said that that's where the need is. We're talking about prisons. We're talking about shoring up Medicaid. That is why we need to put it into the general fund. So the fight goes on to the House. That's where I think the bill that we'll actually get will probably be what it is. You have a lot of members in the House of Representatives that wanted to go to education. There's got to be some kind of compromise there with education and what goes to the general fund, and then it'll get sent back to the Senate, and I believe it'll pass probably with a bigger margin than what it did the first time.
All right, we appreciate our time with you every Wednesday morning. Jeff, where can people find your work online if they want to follow you?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
All right, thanks, Jeff. That's Jeff Poor, WVNN Huntsville, also Yellowhammer News, Lanyap, and a number of other publications. And Mobile Mornings rolls on right after this. Hey, thank you, Kane. 837 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive, and where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, and even better that I know. If I go to McConnell Automotive right now, I can find the best deal on the AT4 Sierra, the new AT4 Sierra, that I can find anywhere.
Yeah, Dalton, I mean, first of all, if somebody's out there thinking maybe about a Ford Raptor or something like that, they gotta check this AT4 out, because it's probably the most innovative truck on the road, Dalton. And, you know, the six luncheon tailgate's kind of cool, but what it basically is the first GMC ever that comes straight from the manufacturer in the bad boy package. So you've got, you know, the lift kit, the red tow hooks, the monochrome bumpers and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's kind of basically, when you look at it, you maybe just feel like you're a little bit younger and faster and stronger, because it's got a testosterone look to it. But we're excited, man. If people, Dalton, go to my website. We have one of these that my brother drove as a demonstrator. It started at $64,850. We've marked this one down on our website, $12,311 off. So you can buy that vehicle all the way down to $52,339. I don't think anybody in Alabama on the Gulf Coast is selling a new 2019 GMC AT4 that cheap. So all they got to do, man, check it out at McConnellAutomotive.com. And we've got some other ones that came in stock, including a 5-inch lift kit on a Rocky Ridge. But these are the hottest trucks out, Dalton.
Yeah, you're not going to beat those deals, and you can only get them at McConnell Automotive. Thank you, Mitch. We appreciate it.
Right, Dalton. Have a great day, buddy.
All right. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. All right. Thank you to Jeff Poore for joining us, as he does every single Wednesday morning, talk some national news and what's going on in Montgomery right now. But I want to circle back to, of course, what's been the biggest national news over the last few months and really the last couple years. And I know now we've got more tensions internationally between Iran and the China trade wars and what's going on down in Venezuela. But the Democrats and William Barr and the Republicans in the White House still battling. And to give us an update on where we stand with the Mueller report, here's a report from Westwood One's Linda Kenyon. And I lost her, so I'll try to find her here really quickly. But, yeah, Linda Kenyon weighing in on the Mueller report. Let's see if it plays right now.
The Justice Department is asking President Trump to invoke executive privilege over the Mueller report if the House Judiciary Committee follows through with its pledge to hold the Attorney General in contempt of Congress. Attorney General William Barr has been accused by Democrats of misrepresenting the findings of the Mueller report and lying to Congress. This latest escalation between Congress and the Justice Department follows a forceful speech by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
This ought to be good news for everyone, but my Democratic colleagues seem to be publicly working through the five stages of grief.
He should be ashamed of himself with that speech.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer blasted McConnell for saying it's time to move on when the special counsel, he says, left it up to Congress to decide whether President Trump obstructed justice.
375 former federal prosecutors looked at the Mueller report and said publicly that the conduct of the president amounts to felony obstruction of justice.
Schumer says McConnell wants to move on simply because he and other Republicans care only about protecting the president.
What we have here is a concerted effort to circle the wagons, to protect the president from accountability, to whitewash his reprehensible conduct by simply declaring it irrelevant.
McConnell dismissed that notion.
What we've seen is a meltdown, an absolute meltdown. An inability to accept the bottom line conclusion on Russian interference from the special counsel's report, which said the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities.
Schumer says McConnell isn't doing anything to stop Russia from interfering again.
We are essentially encouraging a sequel to 2016 because the leader is sitting on his hands, because the leader is presiding over a legislative graveyard on election security and just about everything else.
McConnell says the Democrats are just sore they didn't get their way.
The Democrats are angry. Angry that the facts disappointed them. Angry that our legal system will not magically undo the 2016 election for them. And they've opted to channel all their partisan anger onto the Attorney General.
Linda Kenyon, Washington.
All right, so they'll vote today, the House Judiciary Committee voting on whether to go ahead and hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress for not turning over that full unredacted Mueller report. It seems to me, anyway, I mean, the Mueller report's out there. It's a best-selling book right now in bookstores. You can get it. I know Washington Post is selling their own version of it. There's several. Of course, parts of it are redacted. Now, when it was released, a lot of media organizations were saying it was heavily redacted. But a lot of those redactions are to save
Well, there's national security issues. That's mm-hmm. redacted. And grand jury testimony, that's redacted, both by law. When you take a look at it and you total up all the areas that have been redacted in view of the entire report, it's about 2%.
Mm-hmm.
That, in my mind, is not heavily redaction. I mean, that's
right.
You know, that's you know, things that have been taken out, covered up, blacklined, because they're required to by law and by national security. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, this is like a tempest in a teapot. You know, much ado about nothing, to quote the Bard a couple of times. But the it's a distraction to keep the mainstream media and, by extension, the American public away from things that are positive, that are good, that are happening, and other problems that we actually have, like you mentioned, Venezuela and the Middle East with Iran supposedly shipping missiles on boats.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all things that require focus, and yet we're being distracted by, you know, something that, you know, really has been, you know, we've been there and done that. It's over with. Let's move on. I agree with Mitch McConnell on this one.
Yeah, and then you, of course, saw the clown show at the end of last week, because Barr, I mean, it seemed like he answered questions there for 12 hours.
Right.
And we've said it before, the questions aren't always questions there in front of those committees, because they know the cameras are on them. Even if you look at Ted Cruz, who put a great defense out there for William Barr when he had his, which I always thought it was 5 minutes, but I guess last week they had 7 minutes to speak, mm-hmm. Each of the committee members. And Ted Cruz, he had the prop with the 400-page Mueller report, and he said, the Mueller report is out there. Like, what are we talking about right mm-hmm. now? Go read it yourself, which I agreed with him on that. But the Democrats just laying into William Barr, and he's become the focus now over and Mueller. They got angry with Mueller, but then Mueller sent that nice little note to William Barr where he said that he didn't feel like his report was fully represented by Barr's four-page report of the Mueller report. But you look at Kenneth Starr, who certainly has some experience in these kinds of things, these kinds of investigations. He said that Mueller really left Barr hanging out to dry by doing that, that it was a really kind of a whiny letter that he wrote him, and it was weak, because that's how this process works. He turns his two-year investigation, all of his pages, into the Attorney General, and the Attorney General decides whether that's enough to press charges or not.
That's how it works.
So you'd think it would be over by now.
Right.
But the Democrats aren't going to let that slide.
This is the only thing they have to really move their agenda, and their agenda being removal of Trump and mm-hmm. the Trump administration. This is the only thing they have that they can move forward with. There is nothing else. They have no policy proposals out there of how to make things better for the American citizen. It's a party of abortion and illegal immigration and, you know, getting rid of Trump. I mean, that's it. What else do they have?
Let's get your take on this whole Mueller ongoing issue, and we'll see if Mueller actually testifies in front of Congress like they're asking him to. First, we'll go to the phone lines where we talk to John in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, doing great.
If I was the president, I would quote one of Burt Reynolds' lines out of Smokey and the Bandit. Say, Adler and Pelosi and all you, do the letters F-O mean anything to you? Nadler is, you know, whatever he's demanding is just asinine, because, number one, there is a completely unredacted copy of the Mueller report in a secure room over to Justice Department, but I guess he's still too fat to waddle over across the street to look at it. And he knows this is just, it's just so asinine on the Democrats, on Nadler's part, because the grand jury information can't be released. What they're trying to do is hurt Trump and hurt anybody associated with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's to me, it's ridiculous. But I just think, you know, Adam Schiff is one of the biggest liars on the planet. And I'm just so sick of it, because it's like the Mueller report came out, and because it didn't say what the Democrats wanted it to say, they're playing like the Mueller report didn't come out.
Right.
So,
yeah, anyway. That's a great point, John, and we appreciate your call. And I just think, you know, with Nadler, I don't know if who's – I guess with him being the head of the committee, he's been tasked. This is his role. The Democrats would be awfully mad at him if he didn't take this as far as he could. And then the news yesterday, because they subpoenaed White House counsel Don McGahn to try to get him to turn over some of the documents, and he was instructed by Mick Mulvaney, the White House chief of staff, not to turn over the material. So then there's another little battle going on here on whether McGahn should turn over the material there, and the White House fighting back against that. Nadler said or McGahn's counsel sent a letter saying that he does not have the legal right to disclose these documents, because I think the way I read this, this would be turned over to all of Congress.
Right.
And just think about how quickly that would leak out to the press
absolutely.
And to the American people.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Cecil in Mobile. Hey, Cecil.
Hey, bud. The way I look at it is the report leads back to the source, which pretty much is going to be an ongoing investigation. There's going to be some people going to jail for starting this crap.
All right. People going to jail for... which people, Cecil?
Pardon me?
Which people would be going to jail?
Well, hopefully Obama, Hillary, hopefully Nancy. That would be great.
Nancy.
I mean, whoever started this bull, because we know that it was all based on false crap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, the Democrats are scared of William Barr because of the fact that he has made it known that he's going to investigate, you know, the investigators, basically. He's going to take a look at the FBI and where the wiretapping came from, the FISA court, the fraud perpetuated on the FISA court. So all of these people that are the names you've heard... are in danger because they've done bad things. Bad things.
Let's do this. As we head into the break, got tickets to see Widespread Panic at the Pensacola Bay Center. The winner of this one will see the Saturday, August 31st show. Yes, that is Labor Day weekend. The fifth caller will take here a pair of tickets to see Widespread Panic at the Pensacola Bay Center, August 31st. Caller number 5, tickets are yours. More Mobile Mornings on the way. Up Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday as we enter the final turn. Check out fmtalk1065.com where we've got a poll question up right now on the tolls. How much would you pay in tolls on the new I-10 Mobile River Bridge and in the Wallace Tunnel? Right now, $1 getting 50% of the vote, $2 getting 10%, $3 getting 20%, and 10% of the votes going to $6. You can vote now, fmtalk1065.com. Also, just gave away tickets to see Widespread Panic on Labor Day weekend. This for the Saturday show. That'll be August the 31st.
Right.
Tickets go on sale Friday, May the 10th, this coming Friday at 9 a.m. online at Ticketmaster.com and at the box office. And, Mark, we have a winner.
Chris Vogler of Daphne is heading to the Widespread Panic show.
All right. Congrats.
In Pensacola, Pensacola Bay Center.
Congrats to Chris and Daphne. And he's already on that side of the bay, but if he's going to have to come here to pick up the tickets.
So that would be the toll.
Right.
And then he'd have to pay another toll to get back to Daphne.
So even though he won free tickets from us, if he were to come across the bay and go back, and if it were $6 tolls,
it'd be $12 tickets.
$12 ticket. So I'd be interested to see what Chris would vote for in our online opinion poll. And that's been at the top of a lot of people's minds as ALDOT has held, they held a meeting yesterday in Spanish Fort on the tolls and Mobile River Bridge, where citizens were allowed to speak their minds. And they'll also allow Mobilians to speak their mind. That starts tomorrow at 4:30 at the Mobile Civic Center. But you know who always allows you to speak your mind?
Who's that?
That's us right here at FMTalk1065.com. And on our phone lines, 3430106. And that's where we go to talk with James the engineer about the upcoming toll bridge. James, how you doing this morning?
Hey, how y'all doing? You know, I really think the dollar is the right route to go. You know, people, let's just say that it's a daughter, mama's kind of running her some money, she's got to make that trip over, come back, you know what I'm saying? Mobile is not quite there with the wages for it to be higher. I do think industrial, like businesses, trucks, and so on and so forth. I'm not so sure electronically you know, going on the internet, I think a lot of that's going to probably deter it and send it the other way. I wanted to mention something about the Mueller report and all this. You know, I remember when they come out with the FBI having these parties, and then, of course, it was probably a few months later where there had been some women molested within the FBI. I think Donald Trump was justified in firing the director, and in fact, probably should have been a few other people if he was not acting director at the time when these events took place. We had a president, Obama, that was elected, and then all of a sudden we discover he does not have a valid citizenship, and that took a while. We were questions on those, you know.
I'm not sure that that was ever confirmed, that Obama did not have a valid citizenship here in the United States, about the whole birth certificate thing. That was never confirmed, James, but I understand what you're saying about the FBI. And, you know, in William Barr's testimony, when he said they were spying on the Trump campaign, and that's something that FBI Director Chris Wray has now completely rejected. I guess the use of the term spying is the issue that the FBI has here.
Yeah.
When what other term would you use? And that's exactly what the Attorney General said.
I mean, surveillance is what they've done. Surveillance is spying. Spying is surveilling.
Mm-hmm.
Terminology really is, up for grabs on this one. Attorney General Barr doesn't think spying is a dirty word.
Right.
And it's really not. It's just, a way of explaining what it is that you're doing. You're surveilling somebody covertly. That's spying.
Yeah, and that's what Ray, he used the word surveillance when he was talking to the Senate Appropriations Committee. He said, I believe the FBI is engaged in investigative activity, and part of any investigative activity includes surveillance. So
yeah.
Just like they'll go round and round about the redactions, they'll go round and round about this spying thing. Meanwhile, by the way, we're sending assets the Middle East because of Iran. We've got China and the trade war, which seems to have gone to another level. And then a lot going on in Venezuela. So all kinds of news to carry us through the day here on FM Talk 106.5. And we'll talk a lot of Montgomery coming up on Midday Mobile today. Coming up next, the Mike Gallagher Show right here on FM Talk 106.5.